Colossians chapter 3, and I'd like to look at this. And what is the first word? Therefore. Now, here is a great biblical principle, and this is deep. Are you ready for that? Whenever you read the word therefore, ask the question, what's the therefore, therefore? Why therefore? Keep a ribbon here in Colossians and go to Romans chapter 12. When you have this word, and especially I think of it in the church epistles, by that I mean the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you'll see this often where after giving a lot of information about Christianity, about what Christ accomplished, about the Messiah, and what this whole thing is that we call Christianity and what was revealed to Paul, he will then say, therefore, based on what we've learned, there is then a call to action, a call of something to do based on what we just looked at. And you'll see this in here in Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans, some call the Magna Carta of the Christian church. I don't know if that's true or not, but it has great understanding of the basic principles of Christianity and what Christ accomplished. And you go through the first 11 chapters, and then you get to chapter 12, and then it says, therefore, verse 1, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Therefore, based on what's said here, therefore, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Therefore, live this way. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, you have the same thing. You have all this information about that we have been holy and blameless without God. We have now access to God. The truth of the mystery is brought in. And then Ephesians 4 starts out, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. Again, the call to action, to walk in a manner that's worthy of that calling. Ephesians 5, you see the same thing. Therefore, be imitators of God and walk in love. Therefore, walk. There's an action after the information. See the same thing in Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 2. After Philippians 1 gives the information, then chapter 2 starts out, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation, and actually you go all the way down to verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility remind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Therefore, don't be selfish, right? And then you also have Philippians chapter 4, where he says, therefore, after all these things, my beloved brethren, stand firm in the Lord. Again, every time you see this, when it says therefore, there's an action to take. There's something to do. So now here we get to Colossians chapter 3. We've looked at chapter 1 and chapter 2, and now what we're going to look at this morning is, in light of what we learned the last 2 weeks, in an overview of those two chapters, what do we do about it? And that's what we're going to look at today. Therefore, so what's the therefore, therefore? What came before it? Well, let's give a quick review of just some of the things that we looked at the last few weeks of what are in chapter 1 and chapter 2. We learned in chapter 1 that we have a hope laid up for us in heaven. There's a hope. Remember, there's a storehouse, a treasure waiting for us in heaven. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance. We're qualified. We're qualified to receive this inheritance. That's nice. We've qualified. He rescued us from the domain of darkness. We've been rescued. We've been rescued out from this world and the darkness of this world. He has rescued us. And he has transferred us to the kingdom. We've been transferred into the kingdom of God. this kingdom that's coming. It's up in heaven waiting for us, but we have this citizenship in this kingdom. We have redemption and forgiveness through Christ. Then we learn a little bit. This Colossians really gives an emphasis of who Christ is. Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. Everything that God is, you can see in Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Everything that was in God and all that he is and who he is can be seen through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn from the dead. Jesus Christ is the first man to die and to be raised again from the dead to live in everlasting life. He is the first one to go into this realm of eternity, the realm of the kingdom that's coming. He is the firstborn from the dead. And in this new creation, he, dominion, thrones, authorities are all created through him. In Ephesians 1, it says he was raised, sat above all principality, power, might, and authority, and every dominion is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. There is a new kingdom coming where there's going to be new government and new rulers and new heads. And Jesus Christ has already passed into that, into the heavens, above everything. And he is the first of creation of what's coming. By Christ, all things hold together. Without Jesus Christ, there is no kingdom met for us. Without Jesus Christ, there is no eternal life. Without Jesus Christ, there is no promise of this future treasure in the heavens. By him, all things hold together. Everything that we have and all our hope is in Christ. He is head over all things. He's top. He's the head. And Christ has reconciled us through death to present us holy and blameless. And then that first chapter, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. All that Christ is now in his disciples. Christ is in you. And then you get into chapter 2 we looked at last week. In this is God's mystery. This mystery which is Christ himself. And in this mystery of Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's a deep statement. That in Christ, in the mystery of Christ, is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it goes on to say in chapter 2 that we are not to be captivated through philosophy and empty deception and all the world knowledge and the different religions and the different ideas and philosophies and thoughts. We're not to be captivated by the things of this world. And it says that in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells. I believe King James Version says the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Remember Sean shared last week how in that area of Colossae, there was the Greek gods, and they had the higher gods and the lower gods. And for them, Jesus was just another one of the many gods. And they're like, no, Jesus Christ is head over everything. He's bigger than Zeus. And all those guys don't even really exist. Christ is real. Christ is at the right hand of God, and in him, all the fullness of deity dwells. He is above all, he's Christ. And in Christ, we have been made complete. We've been made complete in Christ. And through the cross, we've been forgiven all transgressions. He took that out of the way, all those things that were contrary to us, and nailed it to his cross. All those things that defeated you, all the sin, all the things that you have done were taken away and put on the cross. And he nailed it to his cross and they were defeated. And through the cross, through what was accomplished on the cross, all rulers and authorities have been defeated. They've been defeated. Christ triumphed over them. Now, that means all the demons, all the devil spirits, all the world powers that are contrary to what God has in his word and that defeat you have been defeated. He has triumphed over them in it. That's all been defeated. And then finally, Christ has set us free from all of these elementary principles of the world. Remember, and Sean went through those sections there in Colossians, how whether it's asceticism, that's denying the flesh, where you say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give myself anything. Nope, not going to do that. Or the other extreme of hedonism, which is indulging in fleshly desires, enslaved to passion, where you can't control the passion. You're enslaved to it. Both ends. We're free from it. You're free from all that. In Christ, we've been set free. All that captivated us, all that put us down, and now Christ is at the right hand of God, seated above all power, all authority, all might. In him all the fullness dwells. Christ is above all. Christ is in you. Chapter 3. Therefore. Okay? Now you get the therefore. Therefore, because of all this, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. And then it goes on. You see these words that are used here, the action words? Seek. Set your mind. Consider your earthly body. You know what these things are? These are mental. Mental. Let's get mental this morning. Think about what you're thinking about. Think. Your mind. We have a mind. This is what we do with our mind. This is Christianity 101. This is what you do with our brain between the ears. This is how we are now to think. It's how we're to think about ourselves. And we're going to see it's the way we're supposed to think every day, all the time, 24/7. This is how we, as disciples of Christ, are now supposed to think. So, how do you seek? How do we seek the things above? How do we set our mind to these things? Again, you probably know this, but it's so simple, and yet we try to work so hard. It's so simple. Here's two, I think, basic ways that we do this. Are you ready? This is really deep, okay? We pray, and we read the Bible. Yeah, that's really, those are the greatest ways to accomplish this. You see, listen, it's very difficult for me to think about something if it's not in my brain. Amen. All right? You know what? I don't think about atomic nuclear energy and how the atoms get split. You know why? I don't know anything about it. It's really difficult for me to think about something I've never studied. It's really difficult for you to think about the things of Christ if you don't have it in your brain. We've got to get these things in our mind. That is the basics of Christianity. And that's the basics of how you apply these things in your life, is to seek. Again, through prayer, here's a couple verses on this that are just beautiful. And there's many verses you can go to, but Psalm 63:1 says, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. What do you do first thing in the morning with your brain? Do we open up our thing and look at Facebook and see what's out there this morning? Do we turn on the TV and listen to the news? What's the first thing you do? This is just practical stuff here. But if you want to live the way that this says, if you want to live with power, you got to seek. You got to seek him. Matthew 7:7, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. You got to seek. That's an action that you have to do. Christ isn't going to force him on you. You got to seek. Seek him. Seek those things where Christ is at the right hand of God. Well, where are you going to find out about those things? In the Bible. The scriptures reveal to us. This is where you find, how do I know Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God? Because it says so. How do I know that Christ is above all principality, power, and might? Because it says so. It's here in the book. And this is how we see. I love this in Proverbs. To me, this is one of my favorite sections of scripture on this. Seek the scriptures. This is the admonition in the book of Proverbs. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. That's it. Seek. Like a hidden treasure. You ever lose money? Right? Anybody here ever lost money? What do you do? The women take their purse, they dump it all out, they throw it. You're right? We go out of the car and we pull everything out of the car and look. Why? Because it's money. We are to seek the knowledge of God. Treasure it. Seek it like a hidden treasure. Set your mind on this. Listen, you got choices. You know, I know when I was growing up, there was no internet. We had no cell phones. But I remember even then, I remember as a young Christian, and then that the things I had to watch my mind about, I had to watch my television watching. Because you know what? There's very little bit that I found on television that tells me about Christ being seated at the right hand of God. I don't know about you, but I haven't really seen that a lot. Don't see a lot of commercials that, you know, lead me in this direction. There's just not a lot out there that brings this knowledge to my brain. And then there were newspapers. I mean, newspapers. You read it. What's the headline? What on the front page of the newspaper? Have you ever seen a front page of the newspaper? Christ seated at the right hand of God. News at 11. Right? It's not there. There's very little chance for you to set your mind on the things of God if your mind is in the things of the world. You got a choice. You have a choice. You can decide. How powerful do you want to walk with God? How strongly do you want to be a committed disciple of Jesus Christ? It's your choice. Do you want to seek those things of God? Do you want to set your mind on the things above? What are you feeding your brain? What do you feed your mind? Because what you feed on is what you will thought. Look what it says here in verse 2. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Facebook is on the earth. All right, just to let you know. Twitter is on the earth. These things are earthly. They were designed by earthly men. Most of them were designed for covetousness. Most of these things were designed so that people could make money. And so they put information out so that you will watch it so that someone can make money. That's just basically the way the world works. This was not designed so that you could make money. This was designed so that you could have eternal life and a relationship with God and have Christ be in your life and have powerful life. You got a choice. What you want to put in your mind and what you want to consider and have for you. And then it says, verse 3 here, I love this. For you have died. Now there's a cheery thought. I think King James Version says you're dead, right? You're dead. So, you're dead. Good. Congratulations, you're dead. Now, there's a way to think about this. Without Christ, I'm dead. Ah! What do you got to worry about? Nothing. Why? Because you're dead. You're dead. This is the baseline that we start with in our walk with Christianity. I'm dead. All right. You've died. Well, where's my life? And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The way we think about things is, I'm dead. And I got one life, and it's Christ. That's really the way we're supposed to think about things. That Christ is my life. Christ is my everything. Paul said in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Yet, nevertheless, I live. But not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith in Jesus Christ. You see, really, truly, Christ is to be everything. Not just associated Sunday morning, we'll get and talk about him. But he is to be your everything. Is he? You know, just honestly. You know, I got very reproved looking at this in my own life. Seeing where I spend my time and where I spend my thoughts and what I allow in my life. Christ is literally to be everything. He is to be our life. He is to be our life. Therefore, consider, again, mental, consider the members of your earthly body as what? Dead. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed. When these things creep up into your mind, impurity, greed, you get those thoughts that are not Christ-like. You reckon it dead. That's dead. I want to think about Christ. I want to think about my life in Christ Jesus. Those things are dead. This is life. And now you get to verse 8. And here verse 8 through the rest of the chapter here, I call this the put, the let, and the do. It tells us what to put, This is, again, these are actions. What we're to let, and then what we are to do. So put, let, do. So what are we to put? Verse 8. But now you also put them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whatsoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Put. We are to put off those things. And they list them. You know what the things are. Anger. Wrath. Malice. Sensuality. All the things. Put them off. And put on love. Compassion. These things. Kindness. Gentleness. Patience. All right. It really is. I mean, I know that it really is this simple, though. It's like, although today I did okay, many times on Sunday morning, I will walk out of the bathroom with my coat on and my shirt and my tie, and I walk out into the living room, and my wife will say, "You're not wearing that." I mean, what? Come on. It looks... No. No, you're not wearing that. Put it off. Take it off. So, okay. Go ahead and change. Change. I hate, you know, the one thing, I hate having to change my pants in the shirt. It's one thing to change the sports coat, but when I got to change them? Come on. Do I have to change them? Yes, you got to change those pants. Okay. And she's right, but you know... Today, though, I came out and she said, "You look pretty good." I said, "Yeah, I did good today." So you put off, like, you know, think about what you're thinking about. And you know what you say? "Hey, you're not thinking that. Oh, no. You're not thinking that today. Mm-mm." Think this. It's that simple. That's what we're talking about. You put off, just like putting off your clothes and changing. You put off those thoughts and those things that are contrary to Christ, and you put on what Christ has said. And again, if you don't know the scriptures, maybe you don't know what he said. You need to read the book, and you need to get this into your heart, and you need to pray. And then you need to walk. And you put off, and you put on. You put on Christ. You put on Christ. And then, baby, then you're ready for the world. You're ready to go out into the world that day. Now, that's the put. And then the last thing, it says put on love. Put on love. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know what? I don't even like to turn on the TV and listen to the news anymore. I don't even like to watch Facebook anymore. With the world and the evil that people get so upset. And it's like, I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it. Put on love. What do? Well, everybody else wants to rant and rave and complain and yell and scream about this view, and then I have to scream about this view, and we get in fights. What do? Love. Get in there and love. Love the world. Love everybody. Love the person who says they don't love you. So what? Hey, I'm going to love you anyways. Put on love. Reach out with the love of Christ. And Jesus said, by this you will know you are my disciples. Love as I have loved you. And by this the world will know that you are my disciples when we put on love. And that is the bond of perfectness. That is that perfection of the walk of Christ. So put on love. If you know, and that's another thing. If you're not sure what to put on today, try that one. Because that outfit always looks really good. All right? Put on love. Put on love. And then, now, verse 15. Now comes the let. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let. Allow it. When I think of, when I think of allowing, letting, I was a scoutmaster for Boy Scouts. And for scout camp, I don't know if you remember these things, Brad, but at scout camp, before breakfast, people would all stand outside the door. They couldn't get in until Kyle Carney was the big guy there. And until Kyle said you could get into the breakfast, you didn't go in. And they're all, these guys are hungry kids, too. I can't wait to get in. I want to get in. I want to get into breakfast. They're all huddled around, and then Kyle opens the door. He let them in. And once he let them in, they just take over the dining hall. He let them in. You got to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Don't get so busy with our lives that we don't allow his peace to be with us. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let it. Allow it. You know, as much as you would think that we want to be with God and with Christ, do you know God wants to be with you? You ever thought about that? Christ wants to be with you. I think of Chronicles where the prophet spoke to King Asa and said, don't you know that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth, looking for those whose hearts he can be strong on their behalf. God's looking for people who he can fellowship with. Let him in. Let him in. In Revelation, Jesus said, I stand at the door, knock, and I'm knocking. Who will let me in? Let him in. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I love the admonishment here. Sing. Singing is a great way to do these things. You sing and you bring the words to your remembrance and you sing songs. And part of the reason we do singing here is so that you have words and you have songs and melodies that you can carry this with us through the day. To allow the word of Christ to dwell in us. Sing, meditate, and think about these things. So let these things into your hearts. And then verse 17. Now, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And I'd like to read through this next section because I really think this is all part of this area of do. Specifically, it's going to talk about husbands, wives, parents, children, slaves to masters. And I'm not going to really get into the details of all those things. But the big thing is you'll see that this do start is on each end of this section here. Verse 18, wives, be subject to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And whatsoever you do, again, here we are, whatsoever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. So you see on both ends of this, whatsoever you do in verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 23, whatsoever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. And with the slave, we don't really have slave masters like they did at that time. But I think of a boss. I do have a boss. I do work a job. I have people that I am to be responsible to. And this really is really right in the home where all of us are. Most of us work, you know, you're not here in church every day of the week, right, with people who love you. And most of the time we're out in the world. I mean, that's where we spend a lot of our time, at our jobs, at school, the different things that we do. And this is real practical living, because that's where we live. That's where we have to live. It's not like I'm with Christ here at church today, and now I'm going to go out and live all week long, and we're going to put Christ on the shelf, and then I'll bring him back on Sunday morning. That's just not realistic. The realistic is I live in this world all the time. So I know I have a boss, and I'm supposed to be obedient to my boss. But you know what? I have a bigger boss. I have the Lord Jesus Christ. And so while I'm working, though I work for my boss, and I'm told right here to be obedient and to do the things I'm supposed to do, I have a higher plane to which I live to, and that is Jesus Christ. So while I'm at work, that is my priority, is to live for Christ. Because you know what? The boss doesn't always see it when I'm slacking. Right? The boss doesn't always see my attitudes and the little frustrations I might run into. The boss doesn't always see me get a little and when this person does that to me. The boss doesn't always see the way I might respond to people. But Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. And God in Christ is always there. Who are you living for? You see what I'm saying? Don't be a hypocrite. I'm supposed to live every day, 24/7, as if I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that, you know, I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk through this door. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to start my car. In the name of Jesus Christ. No. To walk in the name of Jesus Christ means that you represent him. You walk in the authority and power and all the majesty of what Christ is in this world. And in everything you do, where you go, how you present yourself, how you react, how you treat other people, how you be obedient and be a good worker at work, all is exemplified of your life that you are living in the name of Jesus Christ. And he is your life. Not just Sunday morning, but all week long, 24/7, that Christ is our life. And we are to live this way. This right here is the practical how of how to live in a very basic, simple way. This is Christianity 101. This is how we are to walk in this world. And this great book of Colossians chapter 3 gives us these very practical ways to set our minds on the things above and not on the things of the earth. God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for making available to us everything you have in Christ Jesus. God, and I do pray, as we prayed when we opened, that we can walk worthy, that we can walk in a manner that is worthy of this calling. It is such a high calling, God. We need your help. We ask you to give us wisdom, give us understanding, show us how to walk as Jesus Christ would have us walk. Thank you for this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.